What was the pivot point for you that made you decide to become Wiccan?
The clincher?
Yeah.
When I, let's see.
That's Cola Anderson. She's been a practicing Wiccan for the last 10 years or so, but she first began dabbling in it as a teenager. Anderson grew up as a member of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, but she says practicing her religion as a Latter-day Saint never felt right.
I was going through my first divorce. Both men I've been married to were families, very LDS backgrounds, as well as mine also, but you know what I mean? It was all this LDS and the pressures. Trying to decide why wasn't all of this that I've been taught all my life, that if you just do this, you know, things will get better. Nothing ever got better. Nothing felt right, no matter how much I prayed, no matter how many times I go to church. And I started thinking more back to, okay, when you were doing this as a teenager, following all this stuff that was cool, you felt a lot better about yourself.
Anderson owns a nonprofit called Adams Foundation. The organization helps people who are suicidal or mentally ill get the help and care they need. This organization is named after Anderson's son, who committed suicide about 5 years ago. She recalls a faith-promoting experience she had before and after Adam's death.
The last time we went out to dinner was at the Mongolian Grill. We opened fortune cookies and Adam opened his, and there was nothing. I can't remember if it was his or mine that I opened. One of us opened the cookie and there was no fortune in it. To me, that's a bad omen. That's like, okay, this is not a good thing. So I'm telling my son, like, okay, we have to be careful. I called my other children. I have three older ones, and I'm like, I don't know what this means, but it really freaked me out. People are like, you're an idiot. I don't care. It was a thing to me, and I felt it. It wasn't just an idea in my head. I felt it in my heart. That's something. What does that mean? So a week later, I lose my son. I don't open fortune cookies anymore.
About a year ago, Anderson and her husband attended a baptism of one of Adam's friends in Rexburg. They went to have lunch afterwards and came across Adam's Mongolian Grill at 505 North 2nd East.
And I just kind of went, yeah, I think that's where we're having lunch. Little signs that my son is always there. It happens. It's real. And people think, oh, you're just looking in. Well, really? Okay, you can think what you want.
Anderson has had many experiences that have affirmed her faith and reassured her that her son continues to be present in her life.
You don't have to be any one religion, follow one path to be able to have those moments and to be able to have those signs, because I get them all the time.
Welcome to Finding Faith, a podcast exploring the history, culture, and beliefs of different denominations in Eastern Idaho. I'm Rhett Nelson, and today we explore the unique ideology of pagans and Wiccans, and why everything you've heard about it may not be completely true. My first question going into this episode is understanding what a Wiccan is. Turns out, that's a harder question to answer than you might think.
If you want to try to nail down what Wiccan is, good luck. It's not any one thing. It's not anything specific. It is literally a combination of what that particular Wiccan chooses to follow, what feels right to that person.
Wicca is just one of thousands of different belief systems that fall under the umbrella of paganism. Terry Ireland, a practicing pagan in Idaho Falls, explains.
Every Native Indigenous belief system falls under that umbrella, whether it's Native American or Native New Zealander or Native South American or Native Mesoamerican, that would fall under the paganism.
If you're into natural healing herbs, candles, teas, rock or crystal jewelry, or other similar stuff, you may be familiar with Ireland. She owns Healing Hands Metaphysical Store at 429 B Street in Idaho Falls. These types of products are sold there.
So the Mayans, the Aztecs, the Maori, the Sioux, the Cherokee. They all have a belief system that you wouldn't quite call religion.
Ireland says one reason paganism is not technically considered a religion is because it's tied closely to the seasons of the earth, meaning spring, summer, fall, and winter, and the events that occur in conjunction with those seasons.
Did you notice that a season is over, you know, that the harvest is over, mm-hmm. or that planting is over, you know, things like that where you're very tied to the earth. Most of the men I know that are good hunters or good farmers are using exactly the same philosophies. You know, they notice when the frost comes, and they notice when the sky changes color, and they notice when it's time to pick berries or when it's time to plant or dig potatoes. They know those things, and it's very, very closely aligned with paganism.
In a similar vein, Wicca, or at least the form of Wicca that Anderson chooses to follow, is a combination of Celtic and Native American traditions. And since there's a strong emphasis on reverence for nature, Anderson says there isn't really any kind of formal worship structure.
Our so-called church is nature. I don't have to go to X address to go to church or to worship who I choose to worship. I can do it from within my home. I can do it from out my backyard. I can drive 100 miles out into the mountains. It all comes from within us, not a building someone else has built, not an idea someone else has had.
For many people, the word Wicca conjures up images of witches casting spells. But Anderson says that image is a common misconception. Wicca is not witchcraft.
You know, I mean, I have people who's like, oh, can you cast a spell for me? No. This is not bewitched. This is not how it works.
There are people who use witchcraft who claim to be Wiccan, but according to Anderson, that's not what being Wiccan is about. And the idea of Wiccan being satanic is also incorrect because, according to Anderson, they don't even believe in Satan.
I mean, that's like asking somebody who doesn't have, who has no faith.
Atheist?
Thank you. Somebody who, an atheist, about, you know, worshiping God. We don't. It's not, there's nothing, there's no evil, no devil.
But Anderson does participate in one Wiccan practice that involves a form of spellcasting on certain people or situations.
We have groups that we will get together and talk on social media and whatnot about, you know, have you seen this happening in the world? And what that means is, at a certain time, we cast a spell, which means it's basically a prayer, just with a whole lot more flair than what you'd normally think of. There's candles, there's incense, there's, you know, and then it is a group putting that energy out there to hopefully make things better.
Ireland says one of the most popular items at her store are crystals. These crystals and other types of rocks vibrate at a certain energy level. And when that energy level comes in contact with your personal vibration, she says it has healing properties.
Everything has a vibration at a subatomic level. And when those vibrations work well with your personal vibration, you feel better. And so people have discovered that certain rocks make them feel more grounded, or certain rocks help them with their connection to their whatever they consider to be divine. Some rocks give them more strength and courage and fierceness. Some make their heart feel better after a heartbreak.
Many people wear these items as jewelry or just have them in the room with them because of the energy it gives off. Like Anderson, Ireland practices a similar energy activity.
The core of it is that you sit quietly with yourself. You get in a respectful space with whatever you consider to be divine, and you express your thoughts, your desires, your wishes, your needs. And by putting your intention out there to whatever you call that the universe, God, creator, then those beings or entities or whatever you want to call them, those intelligences, try to line up things so that the things you need come your way.
One of these prayer-like rituals happens in connection with the full moon, which pagans regard as a spiritually significant time. Ireland explains why.
A full moon is a time of things coming to ripeness, to maturity.
Okay.
Things coming to completion. And so you need to sit with that and ponder and reflect and realize what has come to pass. A full moon is a great time to come together with friends, to share community, to socialize, and to get together with other like-minded people. You light a little fire. You spend some time around that fire together. You say beautiful words of gratitude to the god and the goddess.
Each form of paganism has its own emphasis on certain forms of deity, gods or goddesses. We'll talk more about that in just a minute. But certain holidays are important to pagans, because of their connection to the lunar calendar. Halloween, for example, originated from the festival of Samhain, meaning summer's end. This festival celebrated the end of harvest season and the start of the pagan new year. The official day was November 1st, but the pagans believed that the night before, on October 31st, the spirits of the dead returned to destroy their crops and wreak havoc.
Well, our calendar is a sort of an artificially imposed timekeeping system. As Christianity moved through Europe, they, in order to get the local villagers and local folks to partake of Christianity, they would take a regular pagan festival and over time Christianize it.
But the celebration of the harvest is not the only thing that makes the lunar cycle significant. Ireland says there are seasons in your personal life that coincide with the lunar cycle.
There's something in your personal life. You know, I've achieved that goal I set for myself. I've got my last child graduated from school. I, you know, got a new roof on my house. Things like that. And things that.
So those things happen whether you're aware of it or not?
Uh-huh.
There's always some type of completion in your life.
In your life, uh-huh.
In conjunction with the moon cycle.
Right. And some of those are worth celebrating and some need grieving.
Interesting.
And if you take pause on the full moon and notice those things and release them and move on, then it sort of clears your deck. It defrags your hard drive and you're ready to receive new stuff. It makes room for the new things that are coming.
The source of these moments of prayer or meditation are always focused on someone or something divine. The concept of divinity can be somewhat abstract, depending on what particular pagan belief you subscribe to. As I said in the beginning, it all goes back to whatever resonates with you. Ireland, for example, doesn't worship anyone or anything in particular, but she acknowledges that there are masculine and feminine traits to divinity.
In addition to there being some sort of a creator that you might consider a heavenly father, there's a heavenly mother. So there are masculine and feminine components to whatever the creator is. And we need to be respectful and be reverent and pay homage to both of those entities.
But for Anderson, divine entities are a little more specific. One of her favorite beings to worship is Lilith.
Lilith was the first wife of Adam, who refused to bow down and follow the rules, and so she was cast out. Then came Eve.
And then who else you say? Gaia?
Gaia.
Who's Gaia?
She is so hard to explain who is a goddess.
Anderson says Gaia is a goddess who she considers to be the mother of the earth. She says Gaia is more of a spiritual presence than an actual being. Others she mentioned include Hecate and Thor. But Gaia is the one that resonates most with her.
They're all spirits. They're all entities and energies.
There's that word again, energy. That's consistent with what we heard earlier and also ties in with her beliefs about the afterlife.
We believe when you pass on, what you leave behind is an energy. An energy is what you were before you had a body, and it's what you are after your body passes on.
Since the death of her son, Anderson says she's had many experiences that have reassured her he is still present in her life. She's embraced the Wiccan faith more fully since then, and she says life has gotten even better.
I had just started school when I lost him, got my GED, which he was a big part of, because he helped me with my math, because I suck at it. I started college. He's the one that explained to me and showed me how to work a PowerPoint program. I graduated. It took me 4 years. I now have a bachelor's degree, and my life has just gotten exponentially better. It's one of those catch-22s, I guess, you know. Yeah, since I started following my path and being true to myself, things have gotten better, except for this one aspect.
Adams Foundation continues to make an impact in the community by bringing greater awareness to mental health issues.
It's becoming more and more open, which is a fabulous thing. It's awesome. It's one of the things we strive for. But we still have so far to go. I think it can go a lot further if we would just learn how to be more accepting of one another.
And the fact that paganism is all accepting is how she knows she's on the right path.
That is the biggest thing for me, and that's what feels right.
For EastIdahoNews.com, I'm Rhett Nelson, and this is Finding Faith.